I'd like to thank my funding sources, National Cancer Institute, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the Maurice Falk Foundation, a local foundation in Pittsburgh. And I'd like to acknowledge the people that worked on this project with me. So in this audience, I don't need to belabor the point that smoking is the top cause of death in the United States, dwarfing deaths that we see from motor vehicle accidents, illegal drugs. I probably don't also need to remind you that smoking really begins in adolescence. Just about 90% of people who die from smoking begin when they're under 18, so that seems like it's a good population to be doing our intervention in. Every day, around 6,000 adolescents, 17 or under, try their first cigarette, according to the CDC, so this population is ripe for intervention. In addition, young people are consuming enormous amounts of mass media. 6.5 hours a day was actually the low end of the estimate from this Kaiser Family Foundation study in 2005. And in the various mass media that young people consume, there are a lot of smoking-related messages. And the major revelations of this field over the past decade has been that whether young people see smoking-related messages in movies or in advertising and promotions, it strongly increases the likelihood of them smoking. So you might think, well, all we need to do is get smoking out of the movies. All we need to do is stop kids from seeing advertisements. Although that's definitely an important goal, it doesn't always work. The tobacco industry is very adept at getting their message out somehow, no matter what kind of law we pass. Smoking has found its way not only into movies, but into a lot of other areas as well. So the other possibility is this idea of media literacy. Also, sometimes you might have heard of it as media literacy education, maybe even media education. And it's the ability to analyze and evaluate mass media messages. So presumably, if a young person is more adept, more media literate, they might see those same messages, the ones they get through, and they might be less likely to take them at face value. And for this reason, it is recommended to buffer the impact of mass media messages on smoking, according to the CDC, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and other organizations. And sure enough, in some of our previous work, this was published in October of 2006 in the Journal of Adolescent Health, we were able to measure media literacy, smoking media literacy, among around 1,000 adolescents. And we were able to show that if you sort of judge them on this 0 to 10 scale of how media literate they were, depending on those who had higher media literacy, had a much lower proportion of them were smokers. So there seems to be some relationship between media literacy and smoking. In that same study, we were able to show that relationship held in a multivariate sense as well as just the raw data. However, and what brings us to this presentation, media literacy means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It's a very multifactorial construct. Authors and audiences, some people say, well, media literacy is about talking about how mean the tobacco industry is and who's the author of this message and who's their target audience. Meanings and messages. Some people say, no, media literacy is also about how did they actually make that message? How did they use lighting and camera angle to change things? You know, did you really teach kids that these messages really do affect behavior? And then some people say it's more about representation and reality. No, what you should really be doing is you should be showing an advertisement and talking about how different the reality is from that representation. And this framework comes from a number of sources, including the Alliance for Media Literate America's principles of media literacy education, as well as a British theorist in media education, Kerry Bazalgette. And this is also published in our paper in Journal of Adolescent Health, October 2006. So examples of items that might test authers and audiences' themes for adolescents are, does an adolescent agree with the statement tobacco companies are very powerful even outside of the cigarette business? We would consider someone who did more media literate. understanding that, you know, Philip Morris is actually part of Altria, and they it's a conglomerate that owns a lot of different, you know, do you know more about this author? Certain cigarette brands are designed to appeal to younger people. Messages and meanings items might be things like cigarette ads link smoking to natural things that humans want, like love, good looks, and power. Two people may see the same movie or TV show and get very different ideas about it. The idea of interpretation is different for different people. People are influenced, in fact, by advertising. When people make movies and TV shows, every camera shot is very carefully planned. These are all things that would fall under that sort of messages and meanings domain of media literacy. The representation and reality domain, when you see a buy one, get one free cigarette deal, it's not actually a good deal in the long run. There's a difference between the way this is represented to you and the actual reality of the situation. Advertisements usually leave out a lot of important information. So you see these items all address very different ideas that all come under the umbrella of media literacy. So what our question was we wanted to determine the association between each of these individual specific constructs of smoking media literacy and measures of smoking. We assume that smoking would be most associated with the author audience realm of media literacy, and this is because in practice a lot of times, you know, we say, well, you know, let's talk about how mean the tobacco industry is, and because of the theory of reactance, young people will look at that and say, hey, I don't want to be part of this. I'm an individual, and so I'm going to be less likely to smoke. So this is what we wanted to test. So what we did was administered a 30-minute confidential questionnaire during social studies classes at a large high school outside Pittsburgh. Our dependent variables were two. First of all, we looked at current smoking. Have you smoked in the past 30 days, which is the definition according to the CDC. We also looked at susceptibility to smoking, which is a three-item scale that has a very good predictive validity. And in this scale, an individual is considered susceptibility if they have any response that indicates a lack of a firm commitment not to smoke, even if they just say, I disagree with that, as opposed to I strongly disagree that I want to smoke in the future. For our 18 media literacy items, we used the scale that we developed and was published in the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine in May of 2006. I'm not going to talk about that whole process, but the bottom line is we got these items from a complex process involving a theoretical model and developing 120 items and having them reviewed by experts and focus groups, and then having 18 final items identified using factor analysis to all sort of fall under this umbrella of media literacy. We wanted to control for many covariates because there are a lot of things that are related to adolescent smoking. Demographics, environmental covariates, do they, you know, parenting styles, parent smoking, sibling smoking, stress, intrinsic covariates, their grades, which we used as a measure of academic achievement / intelligence, depression, self-esteem, tobacco knowledge, rebelliousness, and sensation seeking, and we took all these items from previously validated scales. And what we did for our analysis is we used logistic regression to determine the odds of smoking on one side, and then also the odds of susceptibility to smoking according to responses on each of those individual 18 items. And we controlled for all the variables that had univariate associations with each of the outcomes. So this is what our sample looked like. 165 people were not there that day. 123 people didn't want to take it. There was no, they didn't write their names on it. It was confidential. There was no requirement that they do it. 191 were left out because of having invalid data. We had specific criteria beforehand. Adolescents are prone to do this when they have an anonymous survey. If they put three or more responses that didn't make any sense, I smoke 120 packs of cigarettes a day, something like that, then three or more of those was considered a pattern of inappropriate responses, and those were left out. But we still had over 1,200 surveys to analyze. Our sample was 48% male, 92% Caucasian, 19% were current smokers, which is about in line with national averages. 40% of the non-smokers were considered susceptible to smoking based on Pierce's scale. And as you see, the media literacy scores formed a nice normal distribution with a mean of around 6.5 with a standard deviation of 1 or 2. So what did we find? Well, the first column here is the individual item. The second column here gives you a code as to what the related core concept was. AA stands for the author audience realm that we talked about before. And AA1, for example, is more on the author side. You'll see, and AA2 is more about who this message is, who's the intended audience. And then you see the odds ratio for smoking, current smoking, not the susceptibility outcome, we're going to get to that later, for current smoking based on that item. So as you see here, let's look at the second item, for example. Tobacco companies are very powerful, even outside of the cigarette business. A young person who agreed with that more was more likely to smoke. They were more likely to be a current smoker. Specifically, they were 34% more likely for each point on this four-point Likert scale that they judged. This was not what we expected. We expected people to say, oh, when tobacco companies are very powerful, they'd be less likely to smoke because they would be more likely to understand what's going on. And as you see with these other items here, tobacco companies only care about making money. No relationship. All right, let's look at some of the messages and meanings data. Wearing a shirt with a cigarette logo on it makes you into a walking advertisement. No relationship between that item in a multivariate sense. I'm not showing you the bivariate data because that just doesn't, it's just not that important, you know, because we really need to control for these variables. Again, with most of these, no relationship between what they said on these individual items and actual current smoking. And then these were some of the other messages and meanings items. People are influenced by TV and movies, whether they realize it or not. People are influenced by advertising. When people make movies and TV shows, every camera shot is carefully planned. And then the only one that did have some negative relationship of the messages and meanings, there are often hidden messages in cigarette ads. If you agreed with this more likely than somebody else, you were 27% less likely to be a smoker than they were. But when you look at the representation and reality items, they're all strongly related and significantly related to actually being a smoker. People who agreed with statements like most movies and TV shows that show people smoking make it look more attractive than it really is. Cigarette ads show green, natural, healthy scenes to make people forget about the health risks. When you see a buy one, get one free cigarette deal, it is not usually actually a good deal in the long run. When you see a smoking ad, it is very important to think about what was left out of the ad, and advertisements usually leave out a lot of important information. This is at least giving us a suggestion that in terms of the outcome of current smoking, this construct seems to be particularly important. Okay, now new color, because now we're using a new outcome. We're talking about the susceptibility to outcome. So these analyses were done only on the 900 or so people who were non-smokers. And here we see a totally different story. Look at that second item again. Tobacco companies are very powerful even outside of cigarette business. Among naive smokers, people who were not smokers, they were 35% less likely to be susceptible if they agreed with this. And we also saw significant relationships with tobacco companies only care about making money. Certain cigarette brands are designed to appeal to younger people. Again, people that agreed more with these were less likely to be susceptible, but just among the non-smokers. For the messages and meanings items, again, almost all statistically significant. Again, the people who were more media literate, much less likely to be smokers. Much less likely to be susceptible to smoking. Same thing with the other items, the messages and meanings items, and also with the representation and reality items, which we've seen before, but we see a totally different pattern. So, what are we seeing here? We are seeing that with regard to our smoking outcome, mostly this seems to be related to these representation and reality construct of media literacy. Actually, the smoking outcome, interestingly, was increased with that one author audience item, the power of tobacco industry. You know, maybe we shouldn't necessarily just be talking about how powerful this industry, because some kids might take that as, oh, well, this is a cool thing to do. So we're learning about unintended consequences. But for the susceptibility outcome, it was related equally to each of the domains of media literacy. 13 of the 18 items were strongly, independently related to susceptibility to smoking across each of the various domains. The implications are that different aspects of media literacy may be appropriate to different populations. Maybe for naive smokers, we really do need to emphasize all the domains, but for people who are established smokers or who are older and more likely to have smokers, maybe we need to focus more on the representation in reality and a little bit less on the others. Although, I have to say, I don't think we should throw the baby out with the bathwater. It is important to say, you know, perhaps to explain who makes these ads, who they're targeted at, but maybe it's just not as much of an emphasis. And we need to think about unintended consequences. We need to realize that all the things that make a lot of intuitive sense to us, like, oh, of course you teach them about how terrible the tobacco industry is and how rich they are and powerful. Well, that could have unintended consequences for certain people, and we just need to be aware of that as we create our anti-tobacco program. The limitations include that this was a homogeneous sample. It was a cross-sectional design. We can't infer causality from this. We need to do more longitudinal studies, and that these were self-report data, but because the adolescents were anonymous, we don't have a lot of reason to believe that they would not be truthful. So in terms of future directions, besides doing those longitudinal studies that I mentioned, I think we need to think about a lot of other media-associated issues that affect public health. Obesity, alcohol abuse, suicide, anxiety, eating disorders, violence, these are just a few of the things that have some relationship with adolescent media use. And therefore, maybe we should be looking at the relationship between media literacy and some of these behaviors as well. Thanks very much.